Forward. Kids can be dismissed.
Just before we look into God's Word, we're going to watch a video that will help us.
John the Baptist saw the coming of Jesus as a proclamation that God is on the move in the world, making a way for people to find him. It's kind of like a royal herald that shouts, "The king is coming." Now consider the images in this passage of nature, the mountains crumbling, the valleys being filled in. John's telling us that the frightening things going on in our world might actually be the things God is using himself to bring about his purposes. I think of this today. There are many places amongst Muslim peoples of our world where not only in spite of, but actually sometimes even because of what's being done in the name of extremism, people are turning to Jesus like never before. The cry, "Prepare the way of the Lord," actually is also a purpose for us. Not only is God on the move in this world, but he's calling us to join him. The cry in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord," also speaks purpose for our lives. God is calling us to be with him in what he's doing in this world. It's a wonderful thing to know God is not asking us to go do something for him. He's asking us to come join him, to do something with him. And the verses end with a promise. All people will see God's salvation. It's as though he wants us to know no one will be left out. Whether they're hidden behind the mountains or lost in the valley crags of this world, God will not forget them. As we join with him, his promise is sure. Prepare the way of the Lord, and all people will see God's salvation.
From Raleigh originally, but she is serving the Lord in Kosovo, and we'll look forward to her coming and being among us
during those 2 days. It shall be a great blessing. I encourage you, if you would, to take your Bibles, turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, and verses 13 through 16. We're going to look at some familiar verses this morning to us. I'm sure we've heard them before, like we've heard many parts of the Gospels before, but we encourage you to turn there. Mark chapter 10, verses 13 to 16. And let me just lead us in prayer before we look into the Word of God. Lord, we thank you that you've given us your Word. Lord, if we didn't have your Word, we wouldn't know what you desire in one of us. And so we're thankful today that we have this opportunity to open the Gospel of Mark up. We're thankful that we can look at you in particular and see who you were as a person while you walked on the face of this earth, and what you desire of each and every one of us. As we look into your Word today, we pray that you might be lifted up and glorified, and that, Lord, you would challenge our hearts and our minds with that which you have for us. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever found yourself in a set of circumstances where you were not accepted? You ever been in a place like that? In a place where you didn't maybe meet certain criteria of the people that you were with? Has anybody been, some of you can think back, some of you, this will be a little more current, but has anybody ever been in a gym class, a phys ed class, where the teacher picked two individuals from the class to select teams, and no one wanted you on their team? Ever been there? Some of you have, I know. Maybe you were overweight, or you were not athletic. Possibly you were the unpopular kid, and so you were not picked. I'm sure there are some here who have had jobs where their input was not considered as valuable, where they did not feel they were a part of the team or allowed to contribute in any way. You were just there. No one really wanted to know what your thoughts were. There are probably those of us here who have not been accepted by our in-laws. Ooh, hope I haven't said anything to hurt anybody. You know, we didn't quite measure up to their expectations and standards for their child. You know, they felt that their son or daughter could have done better. Some of you, yeah, maybe you've been there. Would you agree with me this morning that the church is a place where everyone should feel welcomed, and where everyone has a place where they can contribute? I remember many, many, many years ago, while Ruth and I were in seminary, we took a weekend trip to my grandparents' house. We were in seminary in South Carolina. Took a weekend trip up to my grandparents' house, and they lived in North Carolina, down where my mom lives today. They weren't there, but we went up and used their house for the weekend. We had this nice little getaway. And so we decided, you know, seminary students, you should go to church on Sunday, right? So we went to a local church, and the people at the front door greeted us, and they said, you know, welcome. Would you like to stay after for a cover dish dinner? And we said, sure, we'll stay. We were seminary students. We free meal? You better believe it. So we did. And the folks after church allowed us to go through the line first. And so we went through the line, and we sat at a table near the center of the fellowship hall. And as the people passed through the lines, they found seats and sat at every table but the table that we were at. We were there by ourselves in the center of the room. And I know it wasn't the way I smelled, because I had showered that morning and had applied deodorant. But talk about feeling awkward and unaccepted. We sure did. The church is to be a place where everyone feels welcome. But in some places, believers and non-believers have not felt accepted. Their race, their social economic standard, their marital status, their past history have become issues that have prevented their acceptance by the body of Christ. Well, how does Jesus view each individual? Are there any persons who are unacceptable to Jesus? Today we want to ask ourselves those questions as we consider Mark chapter 10, verses 13 to 16. Last week we saw how Jesus had silenced the Pharisees on their badgering questions related to divorce, and how he helped his listeners in that crowd, and that included us, to consider the importance of marriage in God's eyes. Well, today, with that same crowd, we will see how he desires his followers to receive everyone, to receive the lost around us. First of all, will you consider with me what Jesus does not want us to be? He does not want us in the church to be gatekeepers. During his teaching and fellowship with the crowd, some folks began bringing their children to Jesus. You see, it was customary in those days for the parents to bring their children to a rabbi, and they would bring the children to the rabbi, and the rabbi would bless the children. And so it was reasonable that the parents in the crowd bring their little ones to Jesus. You know, some were infants in arms, while others were young children able to walk. And what did Jesus do? Well, of course, he welcomed all of them. Well, the disciples, they didn't like the idea of all these children, these little ankle biters descending on Jesus. And so they told the parents not to bother Jesus. They had not cleared this with Jesus, but they took it upon themselves to prevent their coming. And I was trying to imagine this scene of what it must have been like that day. And I imagine the disciples as kind of like this bunch of overly aggressive bouncers, you know, rebuking the parents for bringing their children to Jesus and blocking the way. Hey, lady! Take that kid and get him back there. You know, not allowing any of these children to come. Why would they do this? Why would the disciples do something like this? Well, it could be they were exhausted. As it seems, they were always entertaining crowds of people. And maybe they were just tired. And they were tired of the kids, they were tired of the people, and they said, you know, no more. Maybe that was the reason. Possibly they wanted to throw their weight around and exercise control by keeping at bay others who come from outside their circle. You'll remember this was a problem for them. These aspiring leaders wanted to be gatekeepers who determined not only who can use Jesus' name as they tried to do back in Mark chapter 9, but also who can have admission into his presence. The disciples misunderstood Jesus' mission and his compassion for all people. We know from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9, verses 35 to 38, some of my favorite verses in the New Testament, because they really express the heart of Jesus. It says in those verses that Jesus looked around him and he saw the people. And he saw that the people were harassed and they were helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus did not have a list of criteria that an individual must meet before gaining access to him. He had not labeled people acceptable and not acceptable. He didn't evaluate persons on their looks, their age, their race, or their checkbooks. He did not judge them based on the way society looked at them. You know, society labels certain persons. Have you noticed that? They label certain persons. And if you haven't noticed it, society is labeling believers and followers in Jesus Christ in certain ways. Unfortunately, sometimes we in the church tend to label people as well. And yet Jesus saw each person as important, each person as valuable. After all, he came to die for everyone. So Jesus made time for everyone who came to him. I mean, think about it. He made time for the sick. He made time for the demon-possessed. Those people that the rest of society didn't want to have anything to do with. He made even time for the nasty Pharisees who were bent on snuffing out his life. He made time for them. He made time for the rich man. He made time for the poor. He made time for Jew and Gentile. And yes, yes, he even made time for the kids. Jesus was moved with compassion for all. And here the disciples were trying to determine who could come to Jesus and who could not. Jesus was not and is not looking for gatekeepers. He's not looking for those who feel it is their duty to determine who's in and who's out. In his eyes, all are welcome. Everybody. Aren't you glad about that? I sure am. Unfortunately, we in the church at times can act like gatekeepers by determining whom we feel is acceptable or not in our group. In verses 14 and 15, we see what Jesus desires of us as his followers. He desires us to welcome all. And we read, when Jesus saw what was happening, he was very displeased with his disciples. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Don't stop them." When Jesus saw what the disciples were doing, he was displeased with their actions. We're told he was indignant. Putting it bluntly, he was furious with them. The Greek indicates that Jesus expressed his displeasure with the disciples' actions. Right there, in front of the crowd, he was visibly angry with the disciples, and that the disciples were taking it upon themselves to determine who could come to him and who could not. It's not a wise idea, really, is it, to test the patience of the Son of God? It's not wise to prevent anyone from coming to him. Everyone, even from the dregs of society, even the worst imaginable people that we can imagine in our minds this morning, is important to Jesus. Every person is valuable, whether they agree with us or not, whether they persecute the Christian or not, whether they lie about us or not, everyone is valuable. Everyone is worth the time and the effort in God's eyes. When Jesus says, "Let the little children come to me," don't stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such of these. Well, what is he talking about there? He's not just speaking of children. He is speaking of all people. Let all people come to me. There are no insignificant or forgotten people in Jesus' eyes. Whether they be children or adults, he cares for all of them. He came for all. He died for all. And he desires all to have what many of us here have today, a relationship with him. One that comes as a result of each person placing their faith and trust in him. And so Jesus helps us to understand this when he says, "I assure you, anyone who doesn't have their kind of faith will never get in to the kingdom of God. I assure you, anyone who doesn't have their kind of faith will never get into the kingdom of God. What does Jesus mean? Children have the kind of attitude needed to approach God. Jesus didn't mean that heaven is only for those who believe when they are children. If that was the case, some of us would be left out here. Sorry, you didn't accept Jesus when you were a kid. You're not in heaven. But that's not what he's saying. He's not saying it's only for those who believe when they're children, but that people need childlike attitudes to trust in God. Think of it this way. To feel secure, children need only a loving look and a gentle touch from someone who cares. If you go back there and you got a kid that's all whacked out, you know, crying, he's upset because mom and dad have abandoned him to the nursery, you know, and you're, oh my gosh, what should I do? They just want somebody who's going to show them love and care and concern. That's what they look for. They look for that gentle touch. They look for someone who has that sense of security. Complete intellectual understanding is not one of their requirements. You see, they believe us if they trust us. And Jesus said that people should believe in him with this kind of childlike faith. We should not have to understand all the mysteries of the universe to follow Jesus. It should be enough to know that God loves us and has provided forgiveness for our sins. Now, this doesn't mean that we should be childish or immature, selfish, or spoiled, but that we should receive the kingdom of God with a child's simplicity and trust. That's what Jesus is saying to the disciples in the crowd that day. Now, there might be adults among us here this morning considering the claims of Jesus. And as an adult, you will know some things kids do not know. You will have felt pains kids have not felt yet because they haven't lived long enough. You know passions kids do not know, and we don't want them to know as kids. And you carry griefs that kids cannot carry. Jesus does not ask us to put aside our mind and our passions. But he does require a change of attitude nonetheless. Adult self-sufficiency must recognize its need for a sovereign God. Adult moral defensiveness must humble itself before a holy God. Adult skeptical toughness must soften before a loving God. You see, unless one can completely trust God and his Son Jesus Christ, they will never enter the kingdom of God. In verse 16, we are told he took the children into his arms and he placed his hands on their heads and he blessed them. Because that's what Jesus does. This is a picture of how Jesus receives all who come to him by faith. He takes us into his arms and he blesses us. He forgives us of all our sins, the past, the present, the future. He declares us righteous before his Father, so that when the Father in heaven looks at us because of our faith in Jesus Christ, he sees Jesus. He sees his righteousness in us. He fills us with his Holy Spirit. Think about this. We are indwelt with the same Spirit that indwelt Jesus himself. And he gives us an eternal inheritance. He blesses us, and he keeps on blessing us. Jesus desires to do this for all who come to him in childlike faith and trust him completely. His desire for those of us who have already done so is that we welcome all. And how can we do that? Well, I think one of the ways that we can do this, and it might not be a way that you're thinking about right now, is, first of all, by remaining in a close relationship with Jesus. If we're not close to Jesus, guess what? We're not going to really have a desire to welcome other people. Let's be honest. Because of who we are. But as we are close with Him, those who come in contact with us are the recipients of what is going on in our lives. Now think of it on the other hand. If we're not close to Him, those that we come in contact are also the recipients of what's happening in our lives. And sometimes that's not that great, is it? But if we remain close to Jesus, if we remain in close relationship with Him, what's happening in our lives, other people are able to be the recipients of. We also need to welcome them into our circle. We need to develop close relationships with people. The Gospels declare that Jesus was a friend of sinners. So many times we in the church don't want to, you know, mingle with sinners. We want to stay away from sinners because we don't want to be affected by them. But Jesus was a friend of sinners. And like Jesus, we need to welcome sinners into our home and into our church and into our activities with other believers so that they might see Jesus in us and in our relationships. This is one of the things that made the early church so attractive to the outside world that was observing them. They were welcome. They were able to come in and feel what was taking place within brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to pray for those who need Him. And my encouragement, if you don't pick up one of these little books, Seek God for the City, and praying for Goldsboro this year, but that you'll make a commitment from March 1st to April 9th for 40 days to pray for our city. This city, I know we've got a lot of churches all over this city, and that can be deceiving at times because there are a lot of people in the cracks. There are prodigal sons and daughters who are in Goldsboro. There are people who have come in from outside. We have Islamic people and people of other religions that live in this city. I think I read last year sometime there were over 36 different languages that are spoken in Goldsboro Public Schools. There are people from other nations that are here in this city. You know, we might not be able to go out to the world, you know, that, you know, as some of the missionaries, as Meredith and others will do, but God brings the world to us. They're right here. We need to pray for God to penetrate this city. I challenge you, for 40 days, commit yourself to pray for Goldsboro. And when God provides the opportunity, we share what happened to us when in childlike faith we trusted in Jesus. And we continue to pray that God works in their hearts and brings them to a place where they place their faith and trust in Him. Think of it this morning. What a privilege it is for each of us to welcome all. Let's pray together. Lord, I'm just so thankful this morning that many years ago I was welcomed. I was accepted. Accepted by You, accepted by brothers and sisters in Christ who love me. And I thank You, Lord, that that is the testimony of many of us here today. And I praise You for that. I ask, God, that You would work within us as a body of believers. We know that all around us, whether people at work, our neighbors, people in the marketplace, there are people all around us, Lord Jesus, who need You. And this is not by coincidence that we have been placed here. Oh yeah, we've come here because some are in the Air Force. Others have come here because of employment. And all of those things, but that's not a coincidence, that's providence. You have us here for a purpose and a reason. Because there are many who don't fit anywhere in society, who need to be welcomed into the church, to a place where they can feel a sense of love and security, a place where they will be accepted just as they are, and where they will be influenced. Because of our relationship with Christ, they will be influenced because of that. So Lord, help us to welcome all. Give us a heart of love for those, Lord, who are unlovable, that are all around us. Lord, we look for you to work in powerful ways. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you'd please stand.
On the cross was a gift freely given, righteousness for the weak sent from heaven. With your strength, by your grace, we stand forgiven. We lift high Jesus Christ, the name of freedom. All we could offer was our filthy rags of shame, till we receive your grace, a glorious hope in exchange. Oh, our only boast is the cross, all our hope is Christ in us. You were crucified to raise, and forever we will praise the living God, the living God. On the cross was a gift freely given, righteousness for the weak sent from heaven. With your strength, by your grace, we stand forgiven. We lift high Jesus Christ, the name of freedom. All we could offer was our filthy rags of shame, till we received your grace, a glorious hope in exchange. Oh, our only boast is the cross, all our hope is Christ in us. You were crucified to raise, and forever we will praise the living God, the living God. We boast in what you said is done, for it is finished. Our God is risen. We boast in what you said is done, for it is finished. Our God is risen. Our God is risen. Our God is risen. Our God is risen. Our only boast is the cross. All our hope is Christ in us. You were crucified to raise, and forever we will praise the living God, the living God. Our only boast is the cross, all our hope is Christ. Christ in us. You were crucified to raise, and forever we will praise the living God, the living God. The living God, the living God, the living God.
Quick announcement, real quick. Remember tonight we're gathering for a meal together and prayer. And so I need some help. So next, you can get your exercise in today. We need to move the chairs on the sides, stack them up and use the center ones and put some tables around them. Our chairs around the tables. That'd be great.